Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers hanging out with Kevin Dunn. BK, Brad Kellner is back. You can always reach us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Brad Kellner is at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn is at Kevin Dunn 01. We are keeping track of the football chaos, which started over the weekend and has not stopped since. I mean, the headlines just keep on rolling out. It all started with, over the weekend when the Power Five commissioners met, and the Big Ten, at least rumors started to surface that the Big Ten was going to cancel the college football season. Today, that was actually the Detroit Free Press, I believe, today confirmed that with their sources. Dan Patrick went on his show, and he also made a statement that his sources told him something similar, that there had been a vote, actually, that happened. We have this. Here's the Dan Patrick sound from this morning.
Here's the information. I got almost an hour ago. The Big Ten and Pac-12 will cancel their football seasons tomorrow. The ACC and the Big 12 are on the fence. The SEC is trying to get a delay to have teams join them. The SEC is looking at exclusive TV contracts. So once again, then I followed up with my source and I said, so the Big Ten and Pac-12 canceled tomorrow. That's what I'm told this morning. Three Big Ten teams that I've spoken with said it's done. And I followed up by saying, so the SEC might go alone and bring in other schools. That's the latest. They're trying to buy time, according to my source, to see if the ACC or Big 12 will go along with them.
All right. So waiting on the Big 12 and waiting on Bob Bowlesby. And even Dan Patrick states that the Big 12 is on the fence. He also points out that his sources tell him the ACC also on the fence. So if you're the SEC, you have to lobby one way or the other, either in a court of public opinion or back channels or talking to other athletic directors, presidents, whoever the decision makers are, the influencers are.
All the above. Be the answer,
all of
right?
them. To lobby them to your side of the fence. And that's tough because everybody's got their own medical professionals who are also guiding the opinions of these decision makers. And they should be, by the way.
Yeah.
They should be looking at the medical opinions of these professionals and the expertise of the scientists involved.
But we see with outside of sports, those medical experts are divided.
That also happens. This is why people get
different opinions.
This is why you get second opinions when you get a medical opinion that you don't like, right? That's what a second opinion is.
Second opinion to see if I needed a night guard for when I sleep.
Exactly.
We always do stuff like things.
You should get a second opinion, though. It's actually an informed thing to do because doctors do have different opinions. They have different variances of expertise.
But I was saying even on
COVID.
And
kind of stuff. Well, just period. Yeah, now, all scientists. Scientists, doctors, all that kind of stuff. Now we're waiting on any hints from the ACC or the Big 12. All the reports, including Dan Patrick's report, they claim the Pac-12 is already on the bandwagon with the Big 10 and they're going to cancel the season. And there's no way that you can change their minds about that. So one hint, though, that maybe the ACC is still going to have the season and they're going full steam ahead was the Louisville head coach. And I think he must have had a media availability. And we had the sound, a media availability where he actually said that the ACC is going on business as planned.
The ACC is moving forward. No matter what any other conference does, Big Ten, Pac-12, we're moving forward. And it's because of the advice that we're getting from our medical advisory board. They're saying that we're okay to keep pushing forward. Our presidents are okay to push forward, and that's what we're going to do until we hear otherwise.
Scott Satterfield, head coach of Louisville. So, he says that he's been told nothing. That they've acted like the ACC, at least administrators are telling them, or at least they're acting like, the plan is to go on as scheduled. So now everybody's waiting on the Big 12 and the ACC. And this is interesting because we've seen the players have come out publicly and said they want to play. They have the hashtag, we want to play, and we are united. They have come out publicly and said the players would like to have a season. Several coaches have jumped on that bandwagon, specifically in the Big 10. Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day has jumped on that bandwagon. And recently, Scott Frost made a statement. This is on the Huskers Twitter account, like Huskers football Twitter account. So they're promoting it. And you may be showing some divides between the athletic departments and, as you mentioned, KD, the presidents who are making decisions for the university as a whole. But the athletic departments may have a different agenda with their athletic department and football specifically. Here's Scott Frost.
We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what. No matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how all those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's hand on the button type language there. Wow.
It is. And Frost has come out and said that, look, the virus is here either way. I would contend that our players are safer here. And, Jim Harbaugh. Back that up a little bit. Jim Harbaugh wrote that I'm not advocating for football this fall because of my passion or our players' desire to play, but because of the facts accumulated over the last 8 weeks since our players returned to campus on June 13th. And the fact is it can be controlled. I'm advocating on August 10th that this virus can be controlled and handled because of these facts.
What is Bob Bosby's doctor telling him? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and to go to pretty what you much. Just said, KD, Trevor Lawrence.
He's low-T, that's what he's telling me.
Yeah. Well, Scott Frost sounds kind of low-T too, huh?
Hey, man, I like Scott Frost.
A little monotone in that voice. Not a whole lot of energy coming from
he
that
was low-T until he dropped the what we may do.
He wanted to be, he was nervous because he knew this is going to blow up. Like, this is going to be big.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. He didn't even know how big it's going to be, but it's probably going to be really big.
He was right. I mean, when your conference... doesn't officially come out, but when there's reports that your conference has come out and canceled the season, and then you're like, no, we plan on playing, and we'll do whatever the hell we have to do to play this year, even if it's not in our conference, that's going to generate some buzz. And to go to what you were just talking about, KD, Trevor Lawrence kind of echoed similar sentiments to Jim Harbaugh last night. He actually posted this before Jim Harbaugh had his message this morning, but he kind of talked about how college football players and student-athletes in general will be at more risk if they don't play because they're going to have to go home to their communities where social distancing is unlikely and all medical expenses are going to have to be paid by families who might not be able to pay for them like a university would pay for testing. Like the belief is that players are safer now because they're taking all the precautions that are being enforced by universities and by coaches. And those protocols wouldn't be enforced if they're going home and there's no football and they don't have to be monitored.
I buy that, by the way.
I think there is some truth to that. Right? I mean, obviously, on the other hand, you're playing a contact sport and there's no bubble with college football.
True.
So there's a lot of travel that goes into it. And obviously, there's no social distancing. You can't play football with doing that. So basically,
you've got a ton of guys, so it only takes one.
Exactly. So basically, college football would be doing the things that everybody else is being told not to do. Stay away from each other. Don't travel if you can avoid it. Don't be in large groups if you can avoid it. And college football will be doing all of those things. But obviously, on the other hand, if they go home and they go about out and about the rest of the real world with a bunch of different people who aren't following COVID-19, and we're talking about college kids here, I don't know how much of that age demographic has really been taking this as seriously as a lot of others out there, then maybe they're liable for some more problems COVID-related than they would be if they were just staying on campus.
It could be, and you make some good points there. I mean, I think we've given both sides right there pretty damn quickly, and that's kind of maybe what's going to be debated. What they are doing that the doctors do suggest, or at least the numbers do, is they are 18 to 22 and in really damn good shape outside of BYU. But I mean, to where you have to be realistic about that. And if they are going to be kind of in this one area and maybe not going home, I do buy the fact that it is more safe for them to be on campus. Is this whole thing going to be able to go through and be able to finish the season? I have no idea. I mean, I can't predict.
Right.
That
I mean, those are two different.
Even though I am pro playing, I can't sit here and tell you it's definitely going to work.
We've talked about that a lot. I mean, those are two different conversations, right? Starting the season and finishing the season.
Yeah.
I mean, even if
Rod was worried about that in March.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, even if this thing does start and maybe the Big Ten and the Pac-12 also decide to play, or even if it's not them, it's just the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC. Starting it is one thing, but obviously monitoring the infection and seeing how it escalates throughout the course of the season is a completely different conversation. But it's just crazy. And we talked about this in hour number one. I mean, 5 days ago, the Big Ten announced its schedule. 5 days ago.
What happened?
And their season was scheduled to start before any other Power 5 conference. They were going to start on September 3rd, that Thursday, while the Big 12, while the SEC, the ACC all announced that they were pushing things back a couple of weeks, the Pac-12 too. And all of a sudden, the Big 10 just, within the span of 5 days, goes from, no, we're starting and we're starting before anybody else, to, no, we're canceling and we're canceling before anybody else. Crazy.
It is crazy.
Like, yeah. What did they not see? I mean, we know the stuff. We talked about the liability, but like, what has changed? What did they not see 5 days ago that they all of a sudden see right now?
I think they're one of the only Power 5 conferences with a player that's actively fighting it, right? They have the Indiana offensive lineman, what's his name, Brady Feeney, mm-hmm. who came out and said, you know, he's had the harsh side of the symptoms and has had to deal with it, and he's been fighting it, and his mom. They put out a statement on social
worried
media.
Worried about long-term.
Long-term, right. Talking about the long-term issues.
Not and just
I,
dying.
And I believe no, that was you know, close to like a week or so ago. So they've talked about the long, that's been come up more often, right? The long-term ramifications of getting COVID with the young people who are, yes, largely asymptomatic and don't have to deal with the issues, but could there be long-term issues? There's a Houston offensive lineman that also put out a statement and said that he's not going to play this year, Cedric Williams, because he has now heart complications after having COVID, and he's not going to play. And what's that basketball player, that Florida State basketball player that died over in Africa, I believe is his name?
Yeah, 24, Ojo.
Now they're saying Ojo had COVID.
One of the 19 7-footers they've had in the last 5 years.
Yeah, but now there's talk that he had COVID, and he was recovering from it, and that may be one of the reasons that he died. Some heart complications with it. So, like I said, we don't know. We don't know what we don't know about.
And they don't know either, because we do know some of these places are cooking.
That's come up a lot. And Bob Boesby has mentioned that as well. Bob Boesby has mentioned, you know, heart issues. I think he mentioned myocarditis, right? Is that I think that's it's an inflamed heart. So whether they're talking points or not, they seem to be worried about more the long-term ramifications of it. And I think that's one of the things that may have turned the tables turned the tide for the Big Ten in their decision making.
Yeah, I would reiterate what happened in 5 days, because even with that, and I think you're right, Rod. I think you're on point there. At least that's going to be their talking point, whether it's something they really worry about or not. You know what I miss, guys? I miss the drama that we had like last year in college football. Remember AC Gate? LSU.
LSU. Oh, the locker room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we get back to that being the you're not going to believe what tweet just got dropped? Well, I tell you what, Texas or LSU, they should have called Bryant AC and electric. They would have taken care of that thing, although I think that thing was all good to go anyway. 37 years in business, second generation family run business. They won the Austin Chronicle Best of Electrical. That was in 2019. They've been doing electrical forever, and they have been doing AC for a little while too. They work with every brand of air conditioner. You get the same great service and quality work they've done for electrical. It'll also be done for your AC. You can also do same-day appointments, which is nice, especially with how hot it is right now. All employees have background checks, and yes, they do have safety measures in play for COVID-19. 512-328-3268, 512-328-3268, or BryantACService.com.
There we go. Love that. All right. It's just a little past 4:15, and every hour on the 15s for the next couple of weeks, hopefully, we will conduct the Horn Top 20 Countdown presented by Altstadt Beer. We're getting it started today with the number 20 team on our countdown.
Can I get a countdown?
It's the Horns College Football Top 20 presented by Altstadt Beer. Number 20, the Iowa State Cyclones.
Purdy, back to the air, floats one, wide open. Touchdown, ISU, Charlie Kohler.
The Cyclones of Iowa State coming in at number 20 on the Horn Top 20 Countdown presented by Altstadt Beer.
What a lame fight song.
Very average fight song.
I mean, this is average.
Yeah. That's Iowa State. What do you expect?
Yeah, they've been punching above that, though.
Yeah, they have been, especially.
They should have a different fight song for Matt Campbell era.
Okay, so once he leaves and takes a bigger job,
then yeah.
They change the fight song back to this.
Yes.
I'm in on that. All right, Iowa State number 20 on our countdown. They were 7-5 during the regular season, lost the bowl game, the Camping World Bowl, to Notre Dame. But Matt Campbell has done a tremendous job, especially by Iowa State standards, since he got to Ames 5 years ago. Three straight winning seasons, the first time that has happened at ISU since the 70s. Also, three straight Big 12 conference winning seasons. Iowa State only had one of those before Matt Campbell got there. He's doing less with more in Iowa State. We have them as our fourth-ranked team in the Big 12. The preseason media poll had Iowa State number four in the conference as well. They have finished tied for third in each of the last 2 years. Rodby, the Cyclones are rolling, and they've got some talent to where they could crash the Big 12 championship party at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think they on offense specifically, you got to love Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy's got a really, really high ceiling. NFL scouts love him. He's got to get more consistency this year. That's what you want from him. But, man, with all the pieces he has around him, Charlie Kohler, one of the best tight ends in the country, Milton at wide receiver, Breece Hall is a star at running back. He's really, really good, really underrated, too, in the Big 12. Big 12's got a lot of really good running backs, but I think he'll impress a lot of people this year. So they got the weapons around him, and Matt Campbell is as good of a young coach as is out there in the country. There's no doubt he'll be coaching at a big Power 5 program in the near future. I think very recent future. I don't know how long he's going to stay there at Iowa State before somebody makes him an offer that he can't refuse. And I think John Heacock's going to stay with him. Guys, I wanted Texas to entertain bringing in John Heacock when they had their opening defensively. He's a guy that's on the cutting edge defensively. He's on the forefront. You got NFL defensive minds, and you know Brent Venables coming to Iowa State not to see their talent but to study the scheme that John Heacock has pretty much popularized, that inverted Tampa 2 that Ian Boyd's always talking about, where he can really, really effectively defend the spread at every level, the deep, the intermediate, and the short range, and it's been really, really phenomenal. I mean, a lot of people are coming in and trying to study it. I think it's something that every team now you're going to start seeing having their play book, but Iowa State's one of the places that it really, really got its roots, no question about it, and John Heacock's a really accomplished DC.
Yeah, you know, he's fantastic, and I think Campbell's is at such a level where he's one of these hot names. There, he's being very selective about leaving Iowa State.
He should
a
be.
Lot of guys, I remember Gene Chizik, now Gene Chizik was like 6-20 there, but sometimes you get jobs like that, you're like, anything I get, I'm taking it. I think there's three schools that he's waiting for. All reports.
You like the Midwest, right?
Big time Midwest guy.
Yeah.
You go Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Michigan. I think if one of those three opens, because I was curious with Michigan State if that was ever going to be.
I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's big time
well,
for him.
And also where Michigan State's at right now. They're dealing with their own issues, and he maybe didn't want to jump into that hurricane. But even without that, I was curious, is that not good enough? Are you going to wait until one of those three jobs, big Midwest jobs, opens up? Ohio State being number one right now.
Notre Dame and Ohio State ain't going anywhere. Ryan Day's too young and good, and Brian Kelly looks like he's set. But Michigan, man, if you're Michigan, that's a nice move there.
You already given up on Harbaugh, huh?
I love Jim Harbaugh, but
he's into year six.
I know.
If you can't beat Ohio State,
it ain't much of an already at this point.
Exactly.
Oh, it used to be an already.
Yeah, it did.
I love Jim Harbaugh. I'm a big Jim Harbaugh fan. I think he'll go to the NFL and get snatched up right away. But, man, you can't beat Ohio State, bro.
It ain't working, man.
You got to beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
Got to.
You got to win your division at some point. Right. I mean, that goes into beating Ohio State. But, like, you have to also play for conference championship games, and he isn't doing that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, Matt Campbell, there could be some regret there. If he is waiting for one of those jobs, he better take the next step at Iowa State. I mean, what he's done there, once again, it's unprecedented at Iowa State. We haven't seen this type of success in 4+ decades in Ames, Iowa. I think he's a hell of a coach. He's done phenomenal work up there. But at some point, you know, you kind of fall victim to your own success, and the bar is raised a little bit now. So they finished in the top three in this conference the last 2 years, but can they take that next step? 2 years ago, they had a chance here in Austin to get to the Big 12 title game. They laid an egg against the Longhorns. Now, last year, you talked about it, Rod B. I mean, it's something that trends better for them this year, saying that they could be better this year in terms of win-loss record, how many close games they lost a season ago. But you got to win those games. If you're going to win a conference or play for a conference title, you've got to win those games. And if you're Matt Campbell, as good as he's been, you can't go 7-5 or 8-4 every year and get the Michigan job. It's just not going to happen. Like, at some point, you've got to take that next step. Is this the year for Iowa State? They've got the talent to do so. They've got a third-year starting quarterback, great running back, great defense, as you mentioned. Can they actually take that step? You know, can they play with Oklahoma? Can they beat Texas again? Can they beat Oklahoma State again and actually jump into the top two? Or are they just always going to be that 3-5-ish type of team in this conference? That's where they are. They need to take that next step for me.
My biggest question for them, 4 new offensive linemen, and will they help out Hall and Purdy? And then Milton, Tariq Milton, who we saw a little bit last year. He can really go. Are there skill guys around there? Because that's when all of a sudden their offense took it to a different level. And hell, it just seemed like it was one guy with Hakeem Butler. All right, Saturday was the best sports day I've had since COVID. And maybe the sports gods were trying to give me one last one before we had all the Sunday news. But I'm going to recap Saturday and why it was so great for me. Up next in One and Done.
I like that five-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's One and Done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go One and Done time here. I was really excited about this weekend. Felt like it had a chance to feel like a normal weekend in terms of sports watching. And it did not disappoint. And really, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yesterday was really cool to be able to watch the final day of the PGA Championship. And we had seven or eight guys in the lead at one point as you're going down and going down the stretch. And I'm thinking, all right, I want Scottie Scheffler to win this. I was happy he was at least in there, but I'm going to be rooting for my Longhorns. At one point this weekend, you had Dylan Fratelli, who was three under, and I thought, well, if he makes a run, then, or it may have been Thursday or Friday that Fratelli was actually playing pretty well, and I thought, well, if there's a Longhorn in it, I'll definitely be rooting for him. In a weird way, guys, I don't know why, Brooks Koepka, he comes off as an a-hole.
Koepka.
I like him, though. I almost feel like he's the authentic Phil, and I dislike Phil, or I did for a long time on the course, although he was fantastic in the booth. We need more of that. But Koepka is who he is. And even the cocky response that he had Saturday whenever he said, look, I'm the only one who's been through this. It obviously didn't turn out that way, especially with Morikawa, who had really didn't have that much experience outside of maybe playing on that course before, but in majors to play the way he did, and Koepka didn't play well. But Saturday, you had really fast greens. You had really quick greens. It was a tough course, and that was fun. I just watched that thing all day, and then I knew that I had some baseball to get into, and I knew that I was really excited about the Mavs and Bucks. BK, we'll definitely be getting on talking about Luka, little Luka appreciation segment coming up in BK's Lounge. I'll be coming up at 6:25. But guys, this basketball game did not disappoint. I mean, it was back and forth. You saw runs like you like to see in the NBA, and there was no Pelican stuff going on. This did not feel like an exhibition, and we're out here just to stretch some legs and get some guys some minutes. We can maybe get into that at some other point. But when you've got the Freak and Luka going back and forth the way they were, the Bucks are a fun team. The way they put them together, Lopez is playing well. Obviously, Middleton's in there. And it's just a good, organized basketball team. The Mavs aren't there yet. They're not there yet necessarily defensively, whether that's individually or as with team defense. And they have some problems closing. But this is a fun, young team, and it's all about Luka. Hmm. That dish to finish that thing off between the legs. I mean, I am screaming, hooting, and hollering. I'm on the phone with a buddy, too. And so he's watching it. He's got his wife and kids like in the room too, and we're both screaming, and like his kids are like, what's going on, daddy? What's going on? Like, it's not often in your 40s, at least, that I lose it like I did when I was 15, but pretty cool stuff.
Luka magic, baby. Yeah, that was spectacular theater on Saturday night, and the Mavs aren't there just yet.
No, they're not.
They showed you when they're at their best, they can hang with just about anybody in the league. And they played the best team, the best defense in the NBA on Saturday night, and they delivered. And Luka was incredible, and that game was back and forth through overtime. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, it doesn't matter who you were rooting for if you don't care about either of those two teams. You had a fun time if you were tuned into ESPN on Saturday night.
It was a great weekend and just a great day all the way through. Rod, When I gave my 10, 15, and I think the list, of course, got up to like 25 of the young Major League Baseball stars that you should focus on to really get into the game. Who did I start that with? Do you remember?
Oh, I do not.
Can I take a guess?
Take a guess.
I already knew where you were going.
Go.
You started the first letter, but Fernando.
Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, I'm in love with two 21-year-olds. At 42, you shouldn't say that often. Especially if it's not the sex that you desire. But I have a sports crush on Fernando Tatis and Luka. They're both 21, and they stole the show on Saturday. The Padres lost 3-2. Tatis ended up having two home runs, two solo shots. He would get his eighth home run yesterday. He is tied for the lead in for home runs in Major League Baseball. He is a true five-tool player. Wow. And I saw SportsCenter last night do a whole segment, a special on a pro baseball player.
I know. Can you believe that?
It is the pandemic.
I watched that this morning, and I was like, is this ESPN that I'm watching right now? What is happening
here? Is this MLB?
Amazing.
Yeah, so Jeff Passan said he's going to be the face of baseball. And this guy this guy has personality. He's got charisma, and he can flat out play. Two 21-year-olds stole the day on Saturday.
Well, if you add their two ages together, they're the same age as you, so maybe that makes it a little bit less creepy, huh?
Makes me more depressed, but yeah, but maybe a little less creepy.
Yeah, that's a rough feeling, man, and I'm in the middle of that. I'm actually beyond that at this point. Like, that doesn't faze me that much anymore.
No,
like, when I was 22,
kidding, it doesn't faze me at all.
When I was like 22 and 23, and maybe you guys felt this too, and I would just watch these young professional athletes, right, these 18, 19, 20-year-old guys come into the league, whatever league they were in, and just start dominating. It used to make me so mad. It used to just tick me off.
It tick you off?
Why?
I used to just think it's amazing.
They're living my dream, man.
Oh,
this is
okay,
so
gotcha.
Depressing. Like, why isn't this me?
And you were so close.
I'd get mad at my parents, too. Like, the genetics, can you help me out a little bit, guys? This is all your fault. I'd start blaming everybody else except for me. And I was just like, yeah, this is pretty damn cool that these guys are making it look so easy at that age.
Kobe is a month away from me. I mean, we were the same age. I think he was July, I'm June. And so he was a fun guy to always track.
Yeah.
But of the three of us, we're not the two that should feel like we got screwed. We weren't that close. Our dream ended years ago. Rod's the one that's like, man, a couple more inches.
Couple more inches, man, as every guy knows.
Yes.
Makes all the difference. Mm. Yeah, it could. Yeah.
But you were the one that right on the cusp. You still had a nice career, but I would think it's more the guys that are like, man, I was already in that percentile, and I was that close to just being a Hall of Famer.
No, it's an interesting tweet by Joe Burrow today. He said, and if I had been, you know, had been a year later and I had been in this position, I'd be looking for work right now.
Yeah. He may not get drafted.
You know what I mean? Like, he may went undrafted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Coming out if it was this year for him instead of last year where he, you know, burst on the scene and became, you know, the number one overall pick and had the greatest season arguably in the history of college football for a quarterback. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
If there was no,
let's remember that too.
If there was no swine flu or Zika virus, what was the pandemic that was going on when I was in high school?
I don't know.
It was a bunch.
It wasn't an election year. We didn't talk about it.
The bird flu, the Zika. Yeah, it could be.
I graduated high school in 2012, so you know, if there wasn't an election year that year, maybe I could have been a D1 athlete, and made it to the bigs. That's what I'm blaming. I'm still blaming everybody else on this thing. But yeah, no, both of those guys are awesome. I mean, Tatis was special over the weekend. He's been special all year. Obviously, Luka was great, and it was a fun sports weekend, man. I mean, a great sports weekend. Like, since the first Saturday of August, which I think might have been the first day of August, right? August 1st, that was like the first day where hockey was back, but we had the NBA going on. We had Major League Baseball going on. We had some UFC. We had some golf. Like, the fact that we've gotten those in back-to-back weekends is pretty damn cool. And if we do have a football season and a college football season, then like, the month of September is going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be nuts.
Because you're going to have playoff basketball, man, playoff hockey, the start of the NFL, the start of college football, baseball in the home stretch. You got the Masters and the U.S. Open in golf as well. You're going to have all kinds of stuff going on. So hopefully this is just like this weekend, as good as it was, is just kind of an appetizer for what we could be hitting 3 or 4 weeks from now. But, man, if you've done nothing else besides watch sports in either of these past two weekends, you're doing it big. You're living right, because that's all you've needed, man. There's been so much on and so much entertaining and compelling storylines to follow as well.
It does remind you that when something gets taken away, you appreciate it a little bit more. And because, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take it for granted too much. I'd say, oh, that was an awesome sports watching day, but it was just kind of part of
have it on in the background
of our right here as Americans, right? And you're right, with college football, that's what kind of reminded me of. Whenever you're like at a Pluckers and we're having a cool watch party, and there's all these other games on, and then Texas is about to come on, and don't forget, you got Ohio State, and then someone else playing later on that night. Oh, yeah, and then that TV over there, they've got Major League Baseball playoffs going on. And where BK is right, that's actually going to add to that this year if we do have football, because we're going to have NBA playoffs and hockey playoffs.
If there's college football.
Oh, come on. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's fair.
Nowadays, it's more fair than ever, right? Today, knock on wood.
Hey, and it's been fair the whole time. Yeah. I think the three of us, and I haven't polled us, I want them to play, and I think they should, but people that think that there's 100% right on this argument, guys, we just don't know, right?
No, we don't.
Which is why you should be open-minded and listen and be an adult about this, so... Stay off Twitter.
Stay off Twitter.
Yeah, I did a segment a couple of weeks ago while you were gone, KD. It was a really good HBO Real Sports about student athletes and how they're kind of in a no-win situation. And this was before the social media movement, the hashtag We Want to Play, that started this past weekend. And like, even though that happened, I still think there's a significant number, maybe a quiet number, but a significant number of student athletes who probably don't want to play sports this year. But it was just about how student athletes are in a no-win situation. But I kind of ended it by saying, look, if college sports don't happen this year, you have to understand why.
Yeah.
Like, you might not like it, you might not agree with it, you might not support it, but you have to understand why college kids, when college campuses are closed all over the country in effort to keep people safe, it might not make perfect sense for football players to not play. You would have to understand if it were to happen.
Right.
So that's just kind of where we're at right now. Like, I hope it does happen, obviously, but if it does get canceled, as much as it would suck for everybody, it's just a pandemic. Everything kind of sucks for everybody right now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. This weekend was pretty good.
No way around it, it does. But I think it's... You know, we talk about all the economic ramifications of it. If they do cancel college football season, then other conversations start about athletic departments and can they survive? Because some won't.
Right.
It's just that simple. Some can't afford that economic hit.
And I understand the risk. That's more what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, some they just won't.
I think fiscally it's important to give it a shot.
And it's not just athletic departments, too. I mean, the money that comes in from football goes to other parts of the universities,
yep,
too.
Yep.
So that's also called into question. And education, that's a whole other conversation for a different show. But we're learning a lot about education and what people think about it, whether or not it's deemed essential or not. I think that kind of goes into this college football decision, too, because it's impacting the rest of campus, the rest of the students who don't play sports if there is no college football season. So good stuff, KD. Fun weekend to watch sports.
It was great.
Hopefully we have more of those.
We
will have more of those in the future, of course, but hopefully college football can be a part of those weekends moving forward. But there was plenty to watch, plenty to take in over the weekend without question. We'll get back into the college football chaos, the college football conversation at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. But we do have Off the Record coming up here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Rod Babers, Kevin Dunn, BK with y'all on a Monday. Can you get castrated for smelling someone's hair? We debate up next.
DD Mega Doodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain band comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Off the Record time here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I am BK Brad Kellner. For the first time in 3 weeks, the gang's all here. The three of us rocking and rolling weekdays from 3 to 7. We appreciate y'all spending some of your Monday afternoon with us. Hope everyone had a great weekend out there. In about 15 minutes, we'll get back into the big story of the day. What the hell is going on in college football? All of the rumors and reports from over the weekend and into this morning. Do we have clarity? Do we have answers? We'll give you all of the latest with what's going on, the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC potentially linked together, while the Big 10 and the Pac-12 having rumors saying that they will be canceling college football in 2020. We'll keep you abreast of all of the information that's out there. It's a good word.
It's abreast. A great word.
Anytime you can use breast and get away with it, I'm in.
Yeah, I used a different one with a T back in the day, and that just didn't work out.
Explain yourself.
I don't think we can say it on
Please.
The air.
Please, don't do it. Don't do it.
I come back from vacation. I'm trying to get people fired.
Yeah. Save the trouble. Yep.
That's what I'm here for, gentlemen. All right, so for Off the Record today, we go down to Mexico for this story. More specifically, I'm going to botch this one. Chapinque Ecological Park in San Pedro Garza García.
You nailed
Sounds
it, man.
About right. Yeah.
I don't know if
you rolled the tongue.
I don't know if San Pedro Garza García. I got to gringify it real quick. I don't know if that's a city or a name or whatever. We're going with Chapinque Ecological Park. Yeah, it could be an apartment complex down there. Who knows? But the ecological park, there's video footage from a couple of weeks ago that shows a wild black bear who is known by locals as the Friendly Bear. Like, that's his nickname. So apparently he lives at this ecological park, and he interacts with humans relatively often. Well, on this video, the Friendly Bear approaches a woman and gets real close to her and starts sniffing her hair.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, the woman seems a bit put off at first, a bit scared at first, because this is a huge creature. It's a full-grown black bear. But then she poses for a selfie with the bear.
Okay.
So she's cool, she's comfortable, and that's it. There's no attack. If you were looking for one of those, I'm sorry. Well, even though there was no attack, apparently the bear's behavior has been deemed unacceptable.
Oh, man.
The hair-sniffing bit is a no-go.
What?
It's a bear.
Apparently it's not good. In response to that video, kind of making the rounds over the last couple of weeks, officials have decided to maybe earmuffs kids and parents. If you don't want to explain what this is to your kids just yet, I would understand.
So and me.
Maybe earmuffs this. Officials said they decided to castrate the animal.
Really? Was
over
that
concerns that he has become too accustomed to humans.
So the castration's going to take that away?
Apparently.
It's going to make him more aggressive, I think. Now he's just angry.
Yeah, I'd be angry.
Yeah, that's right. Going to help out the situation.
So not only have they decided to castrate this bear, they've also relocated the animal.
How about starting with the relocation before the castration? Come on.
If this bear had a vote in this thing.
Right, it's like, relocate him.
Let's start with relocate.
And if he comes back, then let's think about an alternative method. But relocation should be the first option.
He smelled some hair.
Smelled some hair.
She probably showered that morning, was smelling good.
Right. She took a selfie with him. She was egging him on.
She took a selfie with the bear.
She was, come on. That's her fault, too. Come on, that's not cool.
The bear is losing his nuts because of it.
I think half of DC's is caught on film smelling hair.
Come on.
No comment.
That's a horrible story.
Yeah, so the bear weighs 212 pounds. He was captured by officials.
They're messing people up, though.
From the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. After there were some other stories about this bear, he was just sleeping in people's backyards, like not causing any problems.
He's a friendly bear.
Like
Yogi.
And the fear was he was getting too comfortable with human beings. So instead of just moving him away from human beings, they decided to cut off his nuts before doing that.
And you wonder why human beings are the worst. So literally, there's another creature out there that had become acclimated to human beings and posed no threat at all to humans, and we chose to castrate this friendly
animal.
Why
don't we cut off the woman's hair?
And then
it's her fault for having good smelling hair.
And
make her lose something here. She's got to be punished.
That's a horrible story. It really is. Like, come on, man. I'm not like Pete or anybody, but relocation seemed like
especially if he hadn't done anything.
Friendlier method of things. Why castrate the poor animal?
You guys been watching Shark Week at all?
No.
You had Mike Tyson on last night.
Is that going on right now?
Yeah, it's going on.
So it's the one of four times a year when Shark Week happens.
Yeah, it's like truck month.
That does happen.
It does
exactly
happen a lot.
Multiple
a
times
lot.
A year, but it they space true. It out just far enough away to where right. nobody calls BS on it.
Well, like truck month, they don't specify how many weeks or what week or when we're going to do it.
Right. It could just be like 2 weeks
yeah.
this month,
ratings
1 week,
down.
1 month, 3 days this month.
We're doing Shark Week.
It's coming.
But one of the guys who forgot the main guy's name, but he was saying, look, I mean, if you really think about it, there's like, what, 9 or 10 people that die because of shark attacks per year, and we kill a million of them.
Is that it?
Who's the threat? Dying? Yeah, I think so. Dying.
They're just
you know what I mean? Who like if you're looking at two species, if you're an alien looking down, you'd go, well, that one's the jerk. You're telling me that they're frightened of that one? No, that one should be frightened of that one.
No, that's a good point.
You finally ran into a friendly bear.
A friendly yeah. bear.
Well, speaking of death by animals, I did some research on this topic, gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
And by that, I mean, thankfully, someone had put this in the article.
About bear attacks?
I just read a couple more sentences and found what I was looking for.
Oh, no.
How about this? On average, every year in North America, which has...
That's a continent.
America's in there. Mexico.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's north of us?
There you go.
The Canucks.
Alaska, I think.
No, that's Canada. Yeah, I guess it's technically.
Greenland. One person a year is killed on average by a black bear in
Come
North America.
Come on.
One, person,
in one person a year in all of North America.
And you thought it was going to be this
bad? That includes yes. Puerto Rico, I think. Too.
Sleeping in people's backyards and like taking
yep.
selfies
the
and
friendly
sniffing
bear.
Air.
Well, and most of those attacks, and I know this guy, this is a friendly guy, but he was in a backyard. Most of those attacks, just like the shark attacks, were in their neighborhood.
Come on, man.
We're on their turf.
That number upsets me even more now. They should have those facts.
Yeah.
They have those numbers and they still castrated the bear.
Well, how about this? I mean, y'all's reaction is not isolated. There's been some public backlash from this decision.
Yeah.
Martin Vargas Prieto, the Director General for Wildlife Control, has defended the decision to neuter the animal before moving him, saying that it will help prevent him from getting into fights with other bears.
What the hell, man?
That's what bears do.
He's a bear.
He's a bear.
Yeah, let him be a bear.
If he doesn't get into fights, he's screwed.
And now you have castrated that bear. When he goes out there and he's getting into a confrontation with another bear, he's going to get punked because
yeah.
he just took his manhood
yeah.
from him.
Yeah.
No, you turned
he's
him into
have
it.
No confidence.
Took his bearhood.
You
yeah.
turned him into it to a no-T beta
Come
bear.
On, exactly.
Oh, now Frank Thomas is going to have to be doing commercials for black
Come
bears.
Come on, man.
Oh, man. I know. What a terrible excuse bear. That is. Prevent
right?
him from getting into fights.
Why do we care if he's
Other
fighting
bears.
Another bear.
Now he can't mate anymore for the rest of his life.
What's the point of him being out there now? Now he's like, what the hell am I doing out here? You took my damn bearhood.
This guy got screwed.
The wussification of this world, y'all. And it's, hit Mexico. I was hoping they'd hold out.
He sniffed some chick's hair. That was
her
it.
Hair.
The Me Too movement, man. It's crucial.
Unbelievable.
You're going to get a text for that, but it was worth it.
I'm kidding, ladies. I'm a feminist.
That's usually my job to say that.
Yeah.
So this is a nice change of pace. Thank you, Rod B.
I was just kidding.
So there you go. There's your off-the-record story for today. The friendly bear down in Mexico is being castrated and removed from a state park for sniffing a woman's hair. Seems like a harsh punishment, but I don't make the rules around here. All right, let's get back into sports, and we'll get back into the big sports conversation of the day, the chaos in college football. We'll give you all the latest with what's going on around college football up next.